invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Paul's letter to the Christians at Rome, 8:5 through 14 in our series called All Roads Lead to Romans. Last week we made it the first four verses in to what is often called the Great 8. Only four verses, but we marinated and celebrated the truth of verses that say that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're all memorizing that verse together this month. No condemnation. Has that been ringing in your ears and your heart this week? No condemnation because of the work of the Son of God. Verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering for us. And so He condemned sin in the flesh of God's own Son. No condemnation because of the Son of God. Amen? And no condemnation because of the work of the Spirit of God. Verse 2, because Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We said last week that chapter 8 is dedicated to the work of the Holy Spirit. A lot of the chapter is about the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives. We're really going to start seeing that this Sunday. In fact, I've entitled this message, If the Spirit Lives in You. If the Spirit lives in you. That's a phrase, or phrases like it appear a number of different times in these 10 verses. This morning I want to boil it down to just two points. Two things that Paul is saying are true of all believers because the Spirit of God lives within them. First, I'd like to read the whole thing, and then we'll pray together and piece together what it means for us today. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 14. You ready? Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank You for the great eight. It's not always easy to follow. In fact, I got lost even just in that reading right there. Okay, now, is that this or is that that? But whenever I find the path, the destination is glorious. Thank You for the truth of the great eight. We pray, Lord, that it would get into us as we get into it. That we would be changed because we've read Your Word and heard Your voice speaking to our hearts. Thank You for the gift of the Spirit and how He lives in us and what a difference that makes. We pray that difference would be greater because we understand it better by gazing into Your Word today. And we pray it not in our name, but in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who's made it all possible. We pray in His name. Amen. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has only been mentioned four times in the book of Romans up till now. Is that a surprise? Here we've been in Romans, I think this is our 15th week or 14th, or I think 15th Sunday in the book of Romans. And He's only been mentioned four times. In chapter 1, He was called the Spirit of Holiness. And He was involved in declaring Jesus to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. We're going to see that theme again today in verse 11. In chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was recognized as the one who circumcises hearts. That is, that we are true Jews inwardly, not because of the written code, but because of the Spirit. That's the same kind of theology we are seeing here today. In chapter 5, Paul said that God has poured His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom He's given us as a gift of justification. We're going to hear something much like that in verse 16 next week. In chapter 7, Paul said the Spirit has brought the new way of living now that we are justified. He said in chapter 7, verse 6, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And there he was introducing what we're going to learn about right now. And just last week, Paul said in verse 4 that the condemnation of sin in Jesus' crucified flesh had a purpose. It was, verse 4, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So today's passage takes it from right there. Paul starts to string out a set of comparisons, or really contrasts, between life according to the flesh, the sinful nature, Greek word sarx, and life according to the Spirit. Did you hear it when I was reading it? The flesh this, the Spirit that. The sinful nature this, the Spirit that. Right? Let's start in verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature, the flesh, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So he's saying there's only two ways to live. Two ways and only two ways. One is the old way, the selfish way, the self-justifying way, the way of the sinful nature, the flesh. And the other is the new way of the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. That phrase, minds set, is a really good one. Because the word being translated there means more than just our thoughts. It really means our mindset, our attitude, our wills, our preferences and inclinations, our heart. Those who live in the fleshly way have their heart set on what the flesh desires. Now that's more than just illicit sex. Sometimes we use the phrase desires of the flesh to just mean the filth of 50 Shades of Grey. But it's more than that. What the flesh desires is what sinners desire. Sometimes that's illicit sexual pleasure, but sometimes it's other kinds of illicit pleasures. Sometimes it's popularity or comfort or possessing the wrong thing or being justified in the eyes of others, being thought well of. Anything that the sinful heart can twistedly want is what Paul is talking about here. Wanting the wrong things. That's what the flesh does. But, verse 5, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now, Paul is not telling us how to live here. Okay? This is not kind of, here's what you need to do. This is not a list of do's and don'ts. He's actually telling us how we actually do live if we are Christians, if the Spirit lives in you. Now, we could extrapolate some do's and don'ts out of this. But this is not a description of the battle between the flesh and the spirit inside of the Christian. This is not like we saw in Romans 7 or what you might read about in Galatians 5. This is the description of the contrast between non-Christians and Christians. Those who are not yet Christians who live according to the flesh, and those who are Christians who live according to the Spirit. And here's the bad news for those whose mindsets are in the flesh. Verse 6. The mind of sinful man, the flesh mind, is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Here's point number one this morning. If the Spirit lives in you, you get life and peace now and forever. If the Spirit lives in you, here's what you get. You get life and you get peace now and forever. The mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Well, when you put it that way, it's no contest, right? Who wants death? Who wants life and peace? But until the Spirit, we were all choosing that way that leads to death. Why? Verse 7. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Shakes its fist at God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. You see, the fleshly mindset is an enemy of God. And in time, God will put all of His enemies to death. The flesh does not submit to God or to His commands. In fact, it cannot do so. Before we received the Spirit, we were unable to do God's will. Physically able, bodies could do it. But spiritually and morally, no. Not in such a way as to please God. Verse 8, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh, those who are not yet Christ followers, cannot please God and are headed for death. But, verse 9, you, however, this is where it gets good. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. You see now why I'm saying he's contrasting Christians and non-Christians? Christians, by definition, have the Spirit of God. Friends, if you're a Christian today, you have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is active in Christians to control and lead them and direct their lives. Now that word control isn't really there in the Greek either. It's just the NIV trying to put the idea that's there into English words. It literally just says this, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since it's true that the Spirit of God is in you. If the Spirit is in you, then you are in the Spirit. And that's very different from being in the flesh. You see, the Spirit of God has a sway over you, and it means life and peace both now and forever. You can please God. That's the implication. Those in the flesh cannot please God. He's saying, but you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit because the Spirit is in you. So you can, hear me on this, please God. That's the idea of verse 4, repeated again, right? The righteous requirements of the law can be fully met in us because of the Spirit. The Spirit can produce His fruit in us so that we are pleasing to our Lord. Not perfectly, but truly. Isn't that amazing? And that means life and peace for all believers. So last week we heard this thing over our life. There is no condemnation, right? And you're supposed to feel that, and I hope you do. Now hear this. Because the Spirit is in your life, you can please God. That takes it another step, doesn't it? Because the Holy Spirit is in your life, you can live a life that pleases God. That's the implication. Not perfectly, but truly. And that means life and peace for all believers. All believers. Because all believers, he says, have the Spirit. Look at verse 9 again. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Well, the flip side of that is true then. If you belong to Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ. Notice how he's called in the same verse, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Same person. Not two different people. Same person. The name Spirit of Christ emphasizes that the Spirit is ours because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Because of Jesus' condemnation, we have no condemnation, and we get the Spirit of Christ. Verse 10. But if Christ is in you, and He is, if you belong to Him, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now that verse is a hard verse to translate. Some of your versions might say something like, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And that's a possible translation as well. I'm not sure what that would mean. I think the NIV has got it best here, and the idea is that our bodies are now decaying. They're mortal. They're subject to death. But because of the Holy Spirit, we now have a new regenerated spirit within us. A new heart because of the gift of Christ's righteousness. In other words, we have life and peace. Peace with God and new spiritual life. And when we get that life, forever. Look at verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, there's that idea, living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Do you see how Paul emphasizes that idea of life here and life forever? His logic begins and ends in the same place. It's almost a circle, but it's more like a spiral right into you. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, there He is, He's saying He's the Spirit of resurrection like we saw in chapter 1. He who raised Christ from the dead, there's resurrection again, He's mentioned it twice already in one verse, will also give life to your mortal bodies. There's the third resurrection, your resurrection, through His Spirit who lives in you. In other words, life and peace both now and forever. Friends, we're going to get new bodies that will be like Jesus' new body. Amen? Some people have the idea that you die and you go to heaven and that's it. Christians die, go to heaven, and then that's it. But that's not it. That's just temporary. Someday we get new resurrection bodies like Jesus' resurrected body. We're only a month in. I've done two funerals already. And whenever I do a funeral and I stand next to a grave and I look out of our cemetery, I say, someday we're empty in this place. And the Christians will get new bodies like Jesus' resurrected body. The body is death now. The body's death. I'm dying here. Happening slowly, I hope, but I'm dying. But this says, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit who lives in me, is one day going to give new life to this body. And we'll experience life as we've never known it. Life and peace forever and ever. If the Spirit lives in you. You see that condition? If you don't have the Spirit, you are still in the flesh. And you don't please God. You don't love God. You don't submit to God's law. You do what you want. You're locked into that. And you're headed for death. So the application of this first glorious point is to come to Christ to get that Spirit. You must belong to Jesus to have the Spirit of God. Do you belong to Jesus? verse 9. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Do you belong to Christ? If you do, then you have the Spirit, and it's wonderful. It makes all the difference. Having the Spirit makes all the difference. That's what I wrote down. I almost titled this message that, having the Spirit makes all the difference. When you get the Spirit, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for you on the cross, you get the Holy Spirit. And when you do, you're given new life on the inside and peace with God that starts now and because of a new body goes on and on and on forever. I invite you to trust in Jesus Christ today and receive not just the forgiveness of sins, but the Spirit of Christ Himself. If the Spirit lives in you, you get life and peace now and forever. Number two, you have the obligation and ability to kill sin. If the Spirit lives in you, you have the obligation and ability to kill sin. That's where Paul goes next. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brothers, see he's summing up, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Paul starts his sentence in verse 12, but then he kind of breaks it off. Do you see that? He takes it in a new direction. He says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but, he never comes back and finishes that. He says, but it's not to the sinful nature. It's not to the flesh to live according to it. Sometimes we feel like it, right? The old slave master says, come on, let's sin. Get up. Let's go. We're going to go sin. And we're like, okay, fine. Whatever you say, boss. Right? Because that's what we always did. He says, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh. Well, who do you think the obligation then is to? To the Spirit. Right. I think that's the implication. We have an obligation to live according to the Spirit who lives in us and seals our union with Christ. That's been the seesaw for this whole chapter, hasn't it? Not the flesh, but the Spirit. Interesting word, obligation, isn't it? Do you think of yourself as obligated to the Spirit? We are to do it. We're called to live in a particular way. We've seen in the last month that some people think that being a Christian means no obligations. In fact, we're free to sin. Woohoo! Right? You're forgiven, so why not just do whatever feels good? Meganoita. May it never be. We are free now, free from sin and free from the law, not free from the Spirit. We're free now to walk in the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit. We have an obligation, and living out that obligation is not earning our salvation. It's working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Living out our obligation doesn't contribute one bit to our justification. That's by faith alone, in Christ alone. But because of our justification, we are now obligated to the Spirit to live to please God. Verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, there he is again, to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. There's our obligation. Our obligation, he says, is to kill sin. The old English word was mortify sin. We don't use that word anymore. You know, if we do, we mean that we're ashamed of something or scared of something. I was mortified, right? But that's not what the old word mortified meant. It used to mean execution. Right? You put it to death. We are, he says, by the Spirit, Not by works, not by the flesh, not on our own, not because we're good, not because we've really worked up our willpower, okay? By the Spirit, applying the gospel, we're supposed to put to death the misdeeds of the body. We're supposed to put to death what we are tempted to do with our bodies. And here's the good news. We can. Before we were Christians, you really couldn't. You could do some moral self-improvement. You could be better than somebody else by kind of being a good person. But it was really just the flesh, and it was all a self-justifying kind of thing. But all that's broken now because of the gospel. And because now we have the Spirit, because of the Spirit, we can say no to sin. Petra, the old rock music band. Remember Petra, some of you? You're dating yourself if you are. Yeah. I loved Petra. They had an old song, Killing My Old Man. And I was like, what's that all about? You know, killing my old man. He says, you don't understand. He's a terrible man, right? So bad. He means killing the flesh. He means killing sin. Execution style. Because of the Holy Spirit, we can say no to sin. We can live holy lives. You hear me? We can live holy lives. We can please God. Not perfectly, but truly. Because the Spirit of God is at work in us and through us. Verse 14. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Dan, that's your motorcycle group's key verse, right? Yeah. Now that being led by the Spirit here is not referring primarily to the Spirit's guidance in our everyday life or to help the help He gives us in decision making. While He does that, that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about how our life, because we have the Spirit, is a Spirit-directed life. That is, the Spirit holds sway over lives. The Spirit leads us through life to eternal life. We're in the way of the Spirit. We're going to see next week more of how this is tied to our being the sons of God, the children of God, and all the privileges and responsibilities that come with that. But the point I want to make here is that because we are, by the Spirit, the children of God, we can mortify sin. That's what God's children do. They say, good night, sin. Get lost, sin. Hey, sin, die a horrible death. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Because the Spirit lives within us, we have both the obligation and the ability to kill sin. So we should get busy doing it. What are the misdeeds of the body that you need to be putting to death? You're not going to do it perfectly. Just a couple weeks ago, we did Romans 7, right? And there's this other law that we find at work in our body, in our members. We want to do good, but we find often that we don't. Okay? That's all still true. But this is true too. In fact, it's deeper true of us. You have the Spirit. So you can put sin to death. What sins need to go to the guillotine in your life? Notice he says the misdeeds of the body. Okay, that's a different word than flesh. One of the reasons why the NIV chose sinful nature instead of flesh is because flesh often means body. But that's not what he's talking about with sarx most of the time. So here, this is a different word. This is the misdeeds of the body, the soma, the earth suit. Okay, this is the flesh working through the flesh, the flesh working through the body. How might you use your body to sin? Where the flesh is getting the upper hand through your body. Your eyes, for example. What do you look at? What do you gaze upon? Is it 50 Shades of Grey? Or something, oh, not as bad. Your tongue. What do you say? What comes out of your mouth? Is it cursing? Is it boasting? Is it lying? Is it gossip? Your ears. What do you listen to? Who do you listen to? What kind of messages do you allow in? Your sexual organs. What do you do with them? How do you express? Is it righteousness or wickedness? Is it what the Spirit would have you do with your sex organs? Or what the flesh would have you do? Your feet. Where do they take you? Where are you going? Your hands. What do you hold or push or pull? Your brain. What will you think about? By the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. That's what Christians do. The great Puritan John Owen was fond of saying about this verse, "Be killing sin, or it will be killing you." But the greater thing to get is that you can't now, because you are in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is in you. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray first for anyone here who does not yet have the Spirit. They know about Jesus, but they have never received Jesus as their Savior, as the sacrifice for their sins, as their risen King. I pray that right now for that person in their heart of hearts, they would turn from their sin, turn away from the flesh, and trust in Jesus. And as they do, they will be receiving the gift of the Spirit, who makes all the difference. Would you do that, Lord, in somebody's heart right now? It would totally make it worth it to come out in the cold, to know that someone came out of sin and into Christ. Because if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. We don't want that, Lord, for anybody here. Or anybody who listens to this tape. We pray, Father, that all would belong to Christ and get the Spirit, which means life and peace, now and forever. A new heart because of righteousness. A new spirit placed in us. And someday a new body, perfectly in line with the Spirit. Forever. Lord, that's what we want for everyone here. And help us to anticipate that day and long for it and live in light of it. And in the meantime, Lord, help us to get busy with the executions we need to perform. Help us, Lord, to put our finger on, or you put your finger on, so that we can tell those misdeeds of the body that need to die now. Help us, Lord, not to get cozy with sin. It has no part of us. Help us to live holy lives, increasingly holy lives. Not to impress you or to earn salvation. No, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But because we have that justification, because of the sentence of no condemnation, and because of the gift of the Spirit, we can say no to sin. And should and will say no to sin. Lord, help us get busy doing it. Help us, Lord, not to give up or give in, to not throw in the towel, but to live an overcoming life. It's going to look different for different people. Some of us have farther to come from. Some of us have gone deeper in. But all of us who are in Christ have the Spirit. And we can, by Your Spirit, execute sin. Do that work in us, Lord. Thank You that You've been doing that work in Christians for 2,000 years. And You've been doing that work in Lance Free Church for 123. Do it, Lord. We need You. We can't kill sin on our own. Only by the Spirit. But we have the Spirit that it takes. So do that, Lord, we pray, in the name of Christ, who gave us His Spirit.